For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?
This question from Jesus forces us to evaluate our priorities
and think of our life construction in the light of his love and truth.
Just what are we building with our lives?
Who are we becoming?
What do we hope to leave behind?
And even more than that, how do we become intentional?
When it comes to the tech and entertainment industries, the most important and foundational part of business is the development and protection of its intellectual property, or IP.
In life, we also need to develop
a different kind of IP to be successful,
which we can call an intentionality plan. Just like an intellectual property, it's something we should protect as if it were the very lifeblood of who we are.
And if we do this, it can be our compass or our GPS that will point us toward the destination God has for us. And that's the key bit, the destination that God has for us.
Proverbs 19:21 tells us, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand."
Are you ready to be intentional?
All right. Blessings to everyone. So good to be able to share this time together with all of you, my friends, near and far. Like I say, wherever you are, some of you maybe even joining us for the first time. And if that's you, I'm Pastor Terry Lee, pastor here, Cornerstone Church in San Francisco. You know, our series is called The Faith Code. And we're going to explore one of the concepts that we talk about in the book that Rusty, my co-author, and I wrote called The Faith Code. And it has to do with the idea of an intentional life. We're going to explore what it means to be an architect or an artist. Like, I think all of us tend to approach life either as more of an architect or more of an artist. And along the way, I'm going to invite all of us to think about, hey, which way do we lean? We may have elements of both, but we may lean strongly in a certain direction more than another. But yeah, even before we go there, I just want to pray and ask God's blessing over our time. And so, Lord, I just do pray for your goodness and grace to fill this time, to meet us where we need it most. Help us to listen for your words as we are listening to our lives, for they are telling a story, and we want to be open to the good things you want to write in our lives. Start right now. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I like to think of life in terms of, natural seasons. So having a spring, a summer, a fall, and a winter. And each season can kind of be thought of as having around 20 to 25 years, if all goes well, right? And every now and then it's good to think about, well, what season am I in? Am I in spring? Am I in summer? Am I in a fall? Am I in the winter season of life? And sometimes, and I've mentioned this before, but sometimes the end of one season can seem really similar to the beginning of a new one, but just give it some time, and before long, we'll know exactly what season we're in. It's just the nature of life. You know, years ago, I remember reading a book from Howard Strauss called, it was a fascinating book. It was called The Fourth Turning. And in it, they actually suggested having a different model for thinking about life. They described it in the following manner. They kind of broke it into life stages. So whereas I started with this, idea of looking at your life through the lens of seasons, they looked at it through the lens of stages. And they described the first stage as childhood, years 0 to 20, young adulthood, years 21 to 41, midlife, years 42 to 62. And then they said elderhood, years 63 to 83, and then late elderhood, years 84 and plus. I often like to think of life having, and I've read others who talk about this when it comes to elderhood, they tend to divvy it up into three directions, or early elderhood being 65 to 75, mid-elderhood 75 to 85, and then for others, late elderhood is 85 and plus. But the point being is when you overlay this model that we have here, sort of thinking about the stages of life and the years with a seasonal model, it gets you really starting to think about things. Well, where am I? What season am I in? What season are you in? What life stage are you in? And we know nothing is guaranteed. We don't know what the future holds. We're not even guaranteed to live a certain amount of years. Life is very fragile. At the same time, let's just assume that we are going to have the opportunity to live a relatively long life. Where are we in it? What stage are we in? What season are we in? What does it mean? How should we be thinking about the remainder of our days? Are we being intentional about the way in which we are approaching our life? Or are we just kind of letting it happen? You know, Moses pondered this in Psalm 90. I'd like to have us look at it together. He said, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." There's that word, generations. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust. And you say, 'Return, O children of man.' For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." Like, to God, time is irrelevant because he's eternal. But to us, time actually matters. We know beginning and endings. Like, it's really hard to comprehend eternity. Like, what does that mean to have no ending? And even the idea that God has no beginning is something that has no beginning is almost comprehensible for us as human beings. We can't really relate to it. But Moses went on to write, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. So, he concludes, teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, as I was reflecting on my life and where I am at a seasonal level, I know I've made my way into the autumn season of life. I am more acutely than ever numbering my days. And I'm grappling with how to embrace the season and its opportunities and how I can grow through it. And, perhaps some of us can relate to a passage I've been reminded of lately, but it's actually a passage that helped me when I was in my early years of faith. And it was just a reminder to me that I needed to keep my eyes on the right things and not get discouraged or lose my focus. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Look at this. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Because the things which are seen, they're temporary. But things which are not seen are eternal. You and I are being invited to live our temporal lives, our time-bound lives, with a hopeful, eternal perspective. And I think that's really important for us to do, because if we see ourselves as someone on a journey to a future beyond this life, then it will affect, as Jesus taught us, how we live this life, how we love and how we work. It will affect how we think about health. It'll affect how we think about relationships. It will affect how we think about aging. Yeah, and even death. And certainly seasonal opportunities. In other words, the more we believe what Jesus taught us about life and its meaning, and how this is really just a prelude to the big dance, that doesn't actually mean that we have less concern about living this life. I mean, I don't mean concern in the sense that we're not just saying, "Oh, what does it matter? I'm going to heaven anyway," or It's not, what we're being told is it's not just this life, but that this life does matter, right? That's huge. And in fact, how we live this life affects the life to come. Jesus made it clear where he placed the accent of life. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul. What do you gain? Jesus clearly was implying that if you if you're not careful, you can put the emphasis on the wrong things. And it's true. Sometimes we're more concerned about possessions or perceptions or acquisitions or the accumulation of temporary resources that we squander the most important gifts of life, and we're being negligent as it relates to what is yet to come. And Jesus reminds us to evaluate our priorities and to think of life construction under the light of eternity, right? Let that illuminate how we build our lives. Once we appreciate, loved ones, that every meaningful part of life was designed to lead us home to God, it will affect how, you know, and influence how we celebrate and live life, right? We will start to see that every season of life that we're allowed to live is filled with tremendous potential and seasonal opportunities. And I just really want to remind all of us of that. When we begin to live with this eternal perspective that Jesus invited us into, and we're focusing on the right things, and we're building in the right way, we're going to start to see that every season of life that we're allowed to live is filled with tremendous potential and seasonal opportunities. Now, we can't go back. That's one thing we can't do. You know it and I know it. Can't go back to the season that was. We can choose to live in the season we're in and maximize those seasonal opportunities. But, and that'll have an influence maybe on the seasons ahead of us, should we be allowed to get to them. But let's talk about this for a moment. Let's consider this. How do we maximize seasonal opportunities? Firstly, we would do well to consider, as I mentioned already, what season we are in. Are you in spring? Are you in summer? Are you in fall? Are you in winter? Right. This is a starting point. Take it a step further. Are we in the beginning of a season, the middle, or the end of one? Once we understand that, then we're able to then move forward, because it does affect how we think about things, right? And then secondly, we are to choose to embrace the season we are in gratefully. And this is important as well. Don't fight against what is. If we do, we will experience tremendous frustration. And at the very least, it diminishes our capacity to grow and enjoy the unique gift that each season can bring to us. So try to thankfully embrace it with all its joy and pain and happiness and disappointment, majesty and mystery, right? And contradiction. When it's easy to believe, and even when it's hard, just try to just live into the season we're in. Don't try to escape it. Don't try to go back. Remember, can't go back. Can't do that. We don't get to redo a season of life. Many of us may stubbornly cling to a notion that we're going to fight, and we're going to, resist the change at all costs. We may try and deny that we're in summer or we're in fall or we're in winter, but and don't fight against what is. Accept the season we're in, and then seek to be grateful in it. There is something ill-fitting and even sad, and I'm not throwing stones here, but it's true that when we see people trying to live as if they are in a season other than what they are in, it doesn't fit. Again, when we're in the middle of autumn, we can try to tell ourselves it's really just, late summer. But at some point, we're going to know, as the days shorten and the weather cools, what cannot be denied. Summer's over. We may keep dressing as if it's summer, or take pride in our ability to transcend what we don't want to face. But when it's all said and done, we will be forced into reality. And that's true for any season. Same thing if we're in spring and it's like, I'm getting into a new season of life. Can't live like I was living when I was, say, in high school, right? So this can apply in every direction. Lovelace, I think it would be better for us, because we're talking about the intentional, unintentional life, to gracefully embrace the change. Come on. And then thirdly, remember, this is important. Identify my season. I choose to gratefully embrace that season. And then I make a decision to grow in the season. Because that's what God wants. He wants us to grow. He wants us to excel at living well in our season. For those of you who are younger, in your early stage of life, your spring and summer, I was thinking about 1 Timothy 4:12, where the apostle says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say and the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity." You want to talk about being countercultural? Wow, there it is. And maybe for those of us who are older, late summer, autumn, early winter, 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Are there some childish things God is asking us to put away or at least wrestle with and not just assume that's what he wants us to be carrying in to this next season of our life or the season we're in right now? You know, each of the seasons of life provide ample and unique opportunities for growth. But we must always remember that an opportunity is not the same as an outcome. One more time, come on now. An opportunity is not the same as an outcome. I may have an opportunity, but the outcome is usually going to be connected to an intention. Now let that settle in. A desired outcome is usually a product of intention. Growth rarely comes haphazardly. The law of the garden is not to tend itself. No, the law of the garden is to grow weeds. Things tend to disorder. That is why we must, listen, pay attention. And the whole idea of pay suggests a cost. Growth is not free. It's going to cost us something, right? So as we contemplate what seasonal growth looks like, let's strike the ground a little harder and consider four more ways that we can make it happen. Are you ready? Let's buckle those seatbelts. Here we go. Number one, be realistic about opportunities and limitations. You know, some people, and I'm sure I've done this as well to some degree, but some people are forever dreaming. And I'm not anti-dreaming, but I'm I am pro-reality, right? I am. Because when our dreaming undermines our willingness to act on what we have in the present, it can actually be unhelpful. We may wistfully ponder what can be and refuse to honestly just like assess what is. Some of us are far too hard on ourselves, while others of us may be too lenient. The key is to be realistic about our seasonal opportunities and limitations. Some seasons, like when we are parenting young children, I've been there. I do remember those days. They flew by. It requires tremendous energy. Those of you who are younger parents or just parents, period, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of sacrifice at a level that can initially be jarring and at times overwhelming. And it's different, right? Because it's such a change. There's such a selflessness to parenting. Now, other seasons, they may require us to work extremely hard on our jobs with little fanfare and modest compensation. And if we're not careful, we can become frustrated. So the point is, different seasons make different demands upon us. Different seasons require different virtues and perspectives. And some seasons like parenting or early stages of career require patience and consistency, often with little affirmation. That's one of the toughest parts about parenting is, and especially sometimes being a mom, but also it could be true for a dad, is you don't get a lot of affirmation. And there are other seasons, though, that require humility and flexibility in a different kind of way. like autumn and winter, stages of life. Those contain, as many of you are aware, different challenges. Things like health, waning vitality, an emerging sense of obsolescence, you know, are facing us. Right? But again, if each season has, as we already mentioned, unique requirements and limitations that invite us to humbly adapt, then they also have, come on, unique opportunities. Seasonal opportunities that we will not always have. I really want us to sit with this. Every season has an opportunity, but that seasonal opportunity does not always show up the same way, and it has an expiration date on it. So the key is to thrive in the midst of these unique life stages, to minimize the frustration by staying realistic and pragmatic about our seasonal limitations. I gotta be honest about what is. Don't live in denial. Don't try to escape. Let's be honest about the seasonal limitations and then maximize fulfillment by staying attentive to the opportunities that are unique to the season. I think you hear what I'm saying. I'm sober, I'm honest, I'm recognizing where I'm at in my life. I'm serious about examination and what limitations there are. And at the same time, I'm also open to the opportunities that are uniquely at this time and embracing those opportunities. And that leads me to the second thought here, that we can maximize that by setting seasonal goals and nurturing aspirations. And I think sometimes it helps to differentiate whether we're being an architect or an artist. And so I'm gonna talk about this. First thing I wanna do is just differentiate between a goal and an aspiration, right? Goals are specific and measurable, while an aspiration is more of a tone, a desire, a direction. And each of us must feather out prayerfully and reflectively which of the two approaches are better. I realize that those who are clear, goal setters, this can almost sound a little ludicrous because everyone should know achievers are goal setters, right? But that is, often true, but not always. Some of us are more artistic and less inclined to be rigid in our life approach. We may find more joy in a tone and direction that invites us to discover life rather than plot a specific course that forces us to relentlessly calibrate as we push towards our stated goals. So, that difference between being an architect and an artist, between having a very clear sense of approaching life and in contrast to maybe a less goal-oriented one. And I'm not judging, and in fact, I see merit in both approaches. I see merit in the approach of the architect, and I see merit in the approach of the artist. But I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that there is more than one way to pursue seasonal growth. Whether we are a disciplined, goal-setting architect or a more spontaneous artist type, we should still commit ourselves to humble accountability. And what I mean by that is we need to be honest about how we are doing. This is huge. The seasonal goal setter, the architect, must guard against rigidity and a tendency to reduce life to management. Because, and just achieving goals. And sometimes those things have to do with, our careers or finances or, owning something and achievement. And a lot of damage can be done, especially in this too, I know. Damage can be done to critical relationships when we are driven in our pursuits. So the danger of being an architect as we approach our seasonal opportunities and seek to maximize them is that we can become a little bit too driven and focused on things that may or may not be the most important things. What's more, and again, goal setters, architect types are notorious for missing moments and for inflexible living because they are so locked in. We're so locked into a seasonal objective that there's sometimes a lack of flexibility and adaptability. But when we pursue objectives, we tend to objectify, right? And that can make us more calculating, less compassionate. So those of us who are goal-driven need to emphasize grace in all aspects of life in order to counterbalance narrowness in our scope of interest and relational sensitivity. This is really important. Otherwise, we'll do damage unintentionally sometimes. Others of us are more artistic. And again, I've been encouraging all of us as we think about unintentional life and the opportunities of a season to consider whether we have a more architect type approach or more of an artistic type approach. But our artists, even the idea of an artist type, just thought of it fills us with joy, right? After all, what's not to love about the artist? Everybody loves an artist. He or she is pursuing a passion, is free of constraint, and how wonderful it is to follow the heart, unfettered and unrestrained. Well, not so fast here, not so fast. The artist approach to seasonal growth has an upside. There's no question about that, but it is also prone, we have to be honest about this, to getting off course, sometimes way off course, because it glories in freedom. And because it does, it can easily dissipate itself to a point of irrelevant wandering. You hear what I'm saying here? I know Thoreau said, you know, not all who wander are lost. And I've gloried in that quote more than a few times. But here's the deal. Many who wander are. It's true. Perhaps it's even more important for the seasonal artist type to have mechanisms for life evaluation. And usually, you know, I'm coming at this from the perspective of a Christian, a follower of Jesus, believing that what he taught us about what is most important in life is to love him and then love others. Then if that's the case, which I believe it is, then usually those mechanisms for life evaluation are connected to things like prayer, like habits of prayer and reflection and quality conversation with the people we trust most. I mean, I could add things like journaling as well and devotional practice. But prayer, reflection, quality conversation, where we're getting vulnerable and open and honest, this is really important. And the artist has to guard against the undisciplined life and still make sure that there's the opportunity to establish healthy patterns and habits. And then I want to add a couple more things here. Thirdly, I'll call it this, make time to appreciate each season's beauty. Come on now, despite some of the challenges and flaws. And I just want to put the emphasis on the take time part. Because each natural season has this unique charm and beauty. The green life of spring, the yellow warmth of summer, the orange-brown leaves of fall, and the blue-gray cool of winter, swaths of colors distinguishing the seasons along with temperature and lengths of day. Each season deserves to be pondered, which is another way of saying each seasonal life stage does as well. But again, like so much of growth, it means we will have to be intentional. To appreciate the seasons of life, we will need to pull back from life's activity and pressure to gain healthy perspective and to unleash gratitude. And the pastor's about to come out in me. Because for some of us, this is what happens when we go to church every weekend. When we take time to listen for God and, like we're doing right now, I hope, listen to our lives. You know, the practice of going to church as a means of reflection is rooted in the Old Testament principle of honoring the Sabbath. God designed the Sabbath for his people Israel so they would remember that they were made in his image and not mere accidents or simply to be automatons just working. He also wanted them to cease from their work and labor and know that they were loved apart from their work. Hello, beautifully designed to know and love God in every season of life. They were not to see themselves as mere animals, no different than an ox or a donkey, but as the jewel of creation, endowed with God-like capacities to love and reflect and create. And so God required his Old Testament church, Israel, to take time to consider what mattered most. And he had them do this on the seventh day of each week. And in the same way, in order to maximize our seasonal growth, we should follow in that pattern. We will need to take time to appreciate the unique blessing each season and stage has to offer. And that's one of the benefits of, like I said, coming to the Lord's house, is we get to do this. You know, let's not rush past the beauty, but rather pause along the way to take it all in. And again, going back to the whole architect, artist, architect types, we need to be careful about rushing past things, right? And missing the moments and being too in a hurry, too driven to appreciate the best things. And those of us who are artist types, we need to be careful about getting lost in the moment and getting stuck in the journey. And we maybe aren't building, or we're becoming a little bit too undisciplined, and we would do well to incorporate into that joyful approach to life some goals and commitments and, yeah, build some things. It does matter. How we're building matters. How we're disciplining ourselves matters. After all, Jesus said, you are to be my disciple, and that means disciplined one. So what does the Lord require of us? What is he inviting us into? Maybe depending on where we are, we can compensate a little bit in the other direction. All right. I'm going to pray in a moment. We're going to share a song, and then I'll come back around. I want to send you off with a blessing. So even now, Lord, thank you for your words of life. Thank you for helping us to think about our life. Thank you that you invite us into life and to consider our season and the opportunities that are before us. Keep writing your story in our lives, Lord. You are both the master architect and the master artist. How good is that? And I see in Jesus all that we are invited to be. So even now, Lord, we want to enjoy this moment in your name. All right, here we go.
Driven by kings, you cover the mountains, the valleys below, with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside of your hand. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last.
So part of enjoying the journey is pausing to reflect on each season's gifts, right? Remember, every season has its own gift. Even winter has a gift as it invites us to look back with gratitude and forward with anticipation of new beginning. How can I say this, loved ones? Because of Christ, all of us are invited to live hopefully, not resigned or embittered. Come on. Not resigned or embittered. Let it go. Anchored in hope. In the assurance of the new spring that is yet to come. When we truly embrace Christ and his promise of life overflowing beyond time, it will radically alter how we think of our past, our present, and our future. Jesus is our model, no matter what life stage we're in. He was both an architect and an artist. He was committed, tenacious. He was building a kingdom that would have no end. And he was also an artist. His love, his greatest signature. He saw the beauty of the flower. He saw little things that others missed. Wow. What an example for all of us. And his invitation, the invitation of Jesus, is for us to trust him with the season of our life that we're now in. Come on, both now and in the life to come. So go in his grace, go in his goodness, go in his love. You are so blessed.